This evening, we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Reading from the 8th chapter, entitled Attaining the Supreme, text number 13. Hearing Lord Krishna in devotion throughout one's life, and especially at the time of death, one can attain to His supreme abode beyond the material world. That's the summary. One short paragraph of the 8th chapter. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is divided into 3 divisions of 6. First 6 chapters deal with understanding I'm not the body and how to practice some process to realize that I'm not the body. Basically, karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, etc. The next 6 chapters deal with the identity of the Lord, His opulences, and how we can reach the supreme abode. And then the last 6 chapters deal with different aspects of the modes of material nature, the material world, renunciation, charity, etc. Practically speaking, in 10 chapters, Arjuna realizes Krishna, but the last 8 chapters are just for further elucidation. So we're reading from text 13, which is now written on the board. Om.
Om.
Iti,
iti
ekaksharam,
ekaksharam
brahma,
brahma
vyaharan,
vyaharan
mam,
mam
anusmaran,
anusmaran
yaha,
yaha
prayati,
prayati
tyajan,
tyajan
deham,
deham
sa,
sa
yati,
yati
paramam,
paramam
gatim,
gatim.
After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. Responsibly, please repeat. After being situated in this yoga practice,
after being situated in this yoga practice
and vibrating the sacred syllable Om,
and vibrating the sacred syllable Om,
the supreme combination of letters,
the supreme combination of letters,
if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead,
if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead
and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets.
He will certainly reach the spiritual planets.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is clearly stated here that Om, Brahman, and Lord Krishna are not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om. But the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is clearly recommended for this age. So if one quits his body at the end of life chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he certainly reaches one of the spiritual planets, according to the mode of his practice. The devotees of Krishna enter the Krishna planet, Goloka Vrindavan. For the personalists, there are also innumerable other planets known as Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, whereas the impersonalists remain in the Brahma-jyoti. Om ityekaksharam brahma vyaharan mamanusmaran yaprayati tyajandeham sayati paramam gatim. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. We have been discussing the yogic situation, and there are a number of verses here which refer mostly to the eightfold system of yoga known as Ashtanga Yoga. This is discussed more thoroughly in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There it is stated that one has to retire from civilization or from society. One has to go to a secluded place in the mountains. One has to practice various kinds of austerities, reducing all of his eating, eating without salt, and practice yam niyamasam, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, the eightfold system of yoga. But of course, Lord Krishna describes the system, but he recommends bhakti, yoginam api sarvesham. Of all yogis, he who shraddhavan bhajate yomam, who with faith and devotion worships me, same yuktatamo mataha, he is considered to be the highest of all. Here, the point being made is that there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's various names, Vinatvam, Nama Namino, Nama Chintamani, Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha, Nitya Mukta Binatvam Nama Nami. No, no difference, no Bina. Just like the material energy is called Binna Prakriti, means it's different than the spiritual energy, it's external. Binna Prakriti Rashtada Bhumira Po Nalo Vayu Kamano Buddhirevacha. Eat material elements, five gross and three subtle. And besides this, apadeyam itasthvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva-bhuta, there's the jivatma. Apart from the panchamahabhut, the material elements, there's the spiritual energy, the jiva-souls. They're known as Tathastha Shakti, and then there's the Antaranga Shakti, or the internal energy of the Lord, where we find Ladini, Sandini, and Sambit. Similarly, just as there are divisions, although in one sense, everything is the energy of Krishna, Janma Adi. He is the source of everything. Janmadi yasya yataha. The very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and the second verse of Vedanta Sutra is stating that Krishna, the definition of God is that he is the origin of everything. Anyone can accept that. A Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, or a Jew, everybody can accept the basic idea. Krishna is the origin of everything. So, everything is his energy. So everything is non-different than him, sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is spirit, in one sense. But, at the same time, there are subtle divisions and gross divisions. There are different expansions of the original form of Godhead. Krishna is called Satchidananda Vigraha. He's the original and full form of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. He is called Swayam Bhagavan. There are so many incarnations of Krishna, and they're listed in scripture, at least the major ones. You can't list them all. God can be recognized by symptoms, even if an incarnation of God is a Shaktavesh avatar, but he can be recognized by various symptoms described in the scripture, but it is stated that there are as many incarnations as there are waves in the ocean. And there's quite a few waves in the ocean, so you could never name them all in the scripture. But the main ones are listed, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a good list for this universe. And there it is stated, Ete Changsa Kala Pungsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Apart from all these Kala, these incarnations, there is another Swayam, an original form of Godhead, and that is Krishna. So, Krishna expands himself into Swangsa and Vibhinnangsa. Again, Bhinna, Vibhinnangsa, expansions, separated parts and parcels. We're part and parcel of Krishna, but we're separated. Svamsa means those that are plenary portions. Plenary means equal in potency. Not necessarily manifest potency, but potentially on the same level as Swayam Sri Krishna. Different incarnations of Krishna may manifest various aspects of the full potency of Krishna. Lord Rama was called Maryada Purushottam. He did not manifest all the features of Godhead. So, those Vibhinnangsa expansions, they have a relationship. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the greatest preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam in this age, he discussed Srimad Bhagavatam in relation to three major topics: Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. The very first topic, Sambandha, means to understand our relationship. Sambandha means relationship. So what is our relationship to Godhead? We are the servants. Jiva Krishna Das Avishvas. Kole Tova Dukkanai. Jivar Swarup Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. The Swarup of the Jiva is that he is Nitya Krishna Das, eternally the servant of Godhead. He may agree and he may disagree. Doesn't matter. He's always serving Krishna. We find that the Uttama Bhagavat, the devotee on the highest platform, he doesn't preach in the sense that he sees that everyone's a great devotee of Krishna. They're all serving Krishna. Everyone's bowing down. At the time of death, they're all bowing down to Krishna. They're all following Krishna's orders. Yeta mam prapadyante tamstathaiva vajami aham mama vartante manusya partha sarvasya. Everyone follows my path in all respects. But the majority of us in the material world have not understood properly our relationship, our sambandha with Krishna. And therefore, we cannot act on that platform of ideya, nor can we experience the bliss that is our constitutional right. We're meant to enjoy. It is a real irony. We're trying so hard to enjoy, and we're meant to enjoy, but simply due to a lack of knowledge, simply due to ignorance, due to our false ego, all we get is misery. Enjoyment is easy. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunoy Sravanadi Shuddha Chete Koriye Udai. Simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, we can experience very easily the bliss, the happiness that Krishna is experiencing. So Krishna is inviting us. He's giving us this shastra, scripture, by which we can eradicate our doubts, destroy our doubts. If you have doubts in your mind, then you won't be able to act with full conviction. It's very important. The mind is the center of all the senses. You can elevate yourself or degrade yourself by the mind. Ugredatmanatmanam, natmanam avashadaya. You can go up or down. So the condition of your mind is very important. Nadaya vyadaya klesha. A little disturbance in the mind will create more disturbance. And it will be very difficult to make spiritual advancement if you're being harassed by a myriad of desires which take you away from Krishna. Just like rivers enter into the ocean, so many desires enter into the mind. For a devotee, he learns to tolerate those desires. Not every single desire he has to go chasing after satisfaction. You don't get satisfaction. If you learn to tolerate, comes to tikshasvabharata. You learn to tolerate those material desires or transform them into desires for pleasing Krishna, then you will get satisfaction. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadva tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kami. He gets shanti, peace, and satisfaction. Not the kami who tries to satisfy all the kamas, Kama Kami. So Krishna is offering liberation or mukti, but the nature of pure devotional service is that the devotee doesn't want anything. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nadanam najanam nasundariyam kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavata bhaktira hoistukitvai. He has no desire for his own aggrandizement. He doesn't want respect. Amanina. He gives all respect to others. He doesn't want wealth. Whatever wealth he accumulates, he uses in Krishna's service. He doesn't deny wealth. We use wealth. It belongs to Krishna. How can we renounce something we don't own? That's foolish. So he uses it for Krishna, and that's yoga. People think that spiritual people should renounce the world, live in a cave somewhere. Spiritual people shouldn't have watches. What do they know? We have computers. We use everything for Krishna's satisfaction, and that is the proper utilization of everything. And that helps us to establish our relationship with Krishna. So, little do they know. Due to lack of ignorance, pravrittim cha, navrittim cha, janana vidurasura. They don't know. In pravritti, they don't know how to enjoy, and in nivritti also, they don't know. So the devotee doesn't want anything from Krishna. He only wants to give Krishna. And even if Krishna offers different kinds of liberation, the devotee is not enthusiastic. There is Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryaras, five kinds of relationships with Krishna. Shantaras means where one worships God in awe and reverence. God is great. And there are five kinds of liberation where one salokya, samipya, sarshti, sarupya, like that, five kinds of liberation. So entering one kind of liberation is to salokya, to attain the same planet as Krishna. Krishna offers that. If you worship me, then you come to me and live on the same planet as I do. He has a great planet. Only kirtan and pastimes, wonderful pastimes. We were reading from the Krishna book last night, wonderful pastimes of, there was some wrestling match, and Krishna and his party lost to Sri Dama and his party. Krishna, God, he lost a wrestling match, right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, the source of all strength. They defeated Chanura and Mushtika, the greatest wrestlers of all time. They defeated, they went away, just, young boys, teenagers. These giant muscle-bound, orangutans. They just played with them and then picked them up and knocked them dead. But in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna lost to the other party. So Krishna and his cowherd, his friends, they had to carry Sri Dama and the other coward boys on their backs. And that, there's so many pastimes like that. Actually, that goes on in Gokula also. Gokula Vrindavan. I think we were reading about Gokula. It was the Kalambasura, that Leela. Kalambasura, the big demon, he knew Krishna was the top dude, so he didn't want to mess with him. So he thought he'd take out Balaram, you know. He was pretending to be one of the coward boys. Demons, great yogis who are envious of God and want to actually kill God. And believe me, it's envy can lead to that. So they can assume any form. So he assumed the form of a coward boy, and he took Balaram on his shoulders and he went away from the rest of the party. But Balaram is, you know, Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan. He's lighter than the lightest and heavier than the heaviest. So he became heavier than the heaviest for this particular situation, and Pralambasur couldn't just carry him. So then Pralambasur revealed himself, and he actually became bigger and bigger and bigger, and he has red eyes and big, ferocious looking, beard. Anyway, finally Balaram thumped him, and that was the end of him. So there's so many pastimes that go on in the spiritual world between Krishna and his devotees, and you can go there and join those pastimes. Salokya. Sarsti, you can have the same opulence as God. Is it Sarsti or Samipya? Huh? Sarsti. Yeah. Same opulence as Krishna. You know, he's got a gold Rolex, and he's got a Montblanc pen, and he's got, you know, a lot of room. Anyway. he has incredible opulence, you can't believe. He has a Kaustubha jewel, the most radiant, beautiful jewel on his chest. He has so many attractive features. You can have the same body as Krishna. You can look exactly like Krishna. Same bodily features. So devotees don't want those types of liberation, but they will accept them if Krishna encourages them. But the one kind of liberation which they won't accept is merging into Brahman, the impersonal. They reject it out of hand. The devotee could never think to accept that kind of liberation. Sayuja. Mukti. So, it is spiritual, but a Vaishnava is not satisfied with it. You can chant Om. It's like I could call you man, and that would describe you. Or I could call you Gregor. What would you rather be called? Man? Or by your personal name? Naturally, you'd rather be called by your personal name. If I just said, hey man, do this man. You know, hey, I've got a name, Maharaj. You know? Yeah. So Krishna likes. He knows what you mean. It's an impersonal way of approaching him. And you can attain Vedanti Tat Chaturvidas Tattam Yajnanam Adyam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdite. It's all non-dual substance, knowledge, Advai Gyan. It's all spiritual. But by realizing Krishna in his personal form, you automatically understand his impersonal nature. You achieve whatever benefit is there by merging in Brahman, plus much more, because you get to meet the Param Brahman. Within Brahman, there is a Supreme Brahman. So the devotees they're not interested in the Brahma Jyoti or anything short of devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore, at the time of death, the devotee quits his body chanting Hare Krishna. And recently, one devotee left her body in London, and nice devotee. She joined in early 70s, worked in the BBT in Brooklyn, went to France, served there, came to England, served Radha, London, Ishwara. She was married, had some children. She was not a famous devotee or, you know, she even had a critical nature. Sometimes she could be quite vituperous. But she got cancer. And so for about 3 years or so, she was trying to cure the cancer and it didn't go away. And finally it got worse. And so then all of a sudden one day, she was taken to the hospital in a coma. And the word went out to the community. And everybody immediately rose to the occasion and, you know, so many devotees rushed to the hospital where she was. And they went to her room. She was in a coma. And they started kirtan. And immediately she woke out of her coma. Came out of her coma. And she saw the devotees, and she was so weak, she couldn't, hardly she could move. I mean, all the energy had been sapped out of her by the cancer. Hardly anything left on the body. But somehow she raised her hands and encouraged the devotees, please chant. Then she reached for her beads, and hardly she could reach for her beads. She pulled them down, tried to chant, tried to move her fingers. And the devotees were chanting, and her eyes were fixed. She was just staring, focusing, and trying to move her lips, chanting, chanting. And took some time for her to leave, number of hours, but she left, surrounded by devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. She went to Krishna. And it was the most wonderful thing, beautiful thing. And all the people in the hospital were shocked. They said, what was going on in that room in there? Your people were so absorbed in your praying. Said one of the nurses were saying that we get so many people come here who die, and a few relatives come, and they're distraught, they're in great misery, they cry, they don't know what to do, they're bewildered. Said, but you people were so joyful. They were really impressed. And this Vaishnavi was chanting Hare Krishna. She didn't sit up and go, Om. She couldn't sit up and go, Om. She didn't have to sit up and go, Om. Because she was Krishna's devotee. Krishna reciprocated with her in her hour of need. Because if you chant Om and approach the impersonal side of Krishna, you don't get any help. You're on your own. But if you become Krishna's personal devotee, servant, friend, father, mother, lover. Somehow you develop a personal relationship with Krishna. Krishna is very grateful, and Krishna will never forget you, never let you go, either now or whenever you're ready to let go of this miserable material world. He'll pick you up. He'll help you in so many ways. He'll push you, force you, encourage you, inspire you. But he won't let you go until you go back to the spiritual world. So bhakti yoga and back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions?
Five? Five types of devotees. Which are the other four ones?
Are there?
Yes, I mean, five types of
relationships.
Oh, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. I think I mentioned the others, but I didn't say the Sanskrit. So anyway, Shanta Ras means the usually either it can refer to those that God is great, like the Muslims. Allahu Akbar, that's their concept of God. He has no form or anything that you can see. He's just great. God is great is something that every religion says. But there's no appreciation of the personal qualities and the opulences of God. God is all merciful, but, you know, God is more than just a conglomeration of nice qualities. Then Dasya Ras means that greatness evolves to a stage where you want to serve the greatness, the great person. You want to render some service in recognizing that he is a person. So, Daruka, he was the chariot driver of Lord Krishna. Or, I suppose, well, who are some examples of Krishna's servants? Uddhava? He was a friend of Krishna. Anyway, there are various examples of Krishna's servants. And then Sakya Ras, Krishna's friends. Arjuna was his friend. Sudama was his friend. And he has so many coward boyfriends. And they love God the way a friend loves a friend. Then Mother Yashoda, Vasudeva and Devaki, Prishni, and Sutapa, is it? Prishni and Sutapa, yeah. They loved their son, Prishni Garva. And in that way, they were the parents of Krishna. You could be the parent of Krishna. Or our Jesus Christ, he loved God the way a son loves a father. So that's a kind of relationship. And then the gopis, of course, there were two kinds. There were the society ladies of Dwarka, like Rukmini and Satyabhama, and they loved Krishna the way a wife loves a husband. So that's called Svakya Rasa. Legitimate. And then there were the more risque gopis who carried on an affair with Krishna under the moonlight after leaving their homes, called Parakya Rasa. It would normally be considered abominable in society But because their only object was to please Krishna, and there are various other aspects to it, it is said that they left their homes in their subtle bodies, whereas their physical bodies remained at home, because their husband locked them up. One of them died. She couldn't stand the separation. The pain in her heart was too much not to be able to go to Krishna, so she just gave up her body. But they weren't male or female. They were female in their mood to Krishna. But they had such devotion, and that is... Any other question? Yes?
How one can die in spiritual world? Where did this gopi go?
Huh?
This gopi.
Oh, well, this was, of course, in Gokul, Vrindavan. So those pastimes were only manifest here for a certain period, and everybody who took part in those leelas, including Krishna, played the game according to the rules of the material world. Krishna also ostensibly died. He was shot by a hunter.
If we desire so, for example, can we all become fathers and mothers of Krishna?
Sure. But, yeah, you can become, or you can worship Krishna in any mood that you like, but it is generally understood that you already have an eternal relationship with Krishna. You just have to reawaken to that relationship. Now it is possible to change your relationship, but there's actually no need, because whatever relationship you have with Krishna is perfect. Although there is a subtle division, but it's not like Mother Yashoda's thinking, gosh, I wish I could be Radharani, being Krishna's mother is such a drag, you know. It's not like that. She's very happy to be Krishna's mother, just like Arjuna was Krishna's friend. And they're all satisfied, but still intensity of love is a little different. Yes?
Is there demons in Goloka Vrindavan, killing demons?
No, there are no demons in Vrindavan. No demons in the spiritual world. That's why when Krishna comes to the material world, he has got to get, when he wants to fight, he's got to get his own devotees to come and fight with him, because nobody can really fight with Krishna. But there are no demons in the spiritual world. There's the sense of fear that the demons are coming. Just like the Americans for years, you know, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. They had that, you know, it was a whole, I think it was J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the CIA, created this whole phobia against the communists, you know. And everybody was like a potential, anybody who wanted to smash, he give the dog a dirty name and hang him. Called everybody a commie. Whatever. So anyway, in the spiritual world, there's a fear that the demons could come at any moment or something like that, but there's no actual thing. Yes?
Well, the disciple gets spiritual initiation.
That your identity in the spiritual world is revealed at a much later stage. Just like you change your name. You know, sometimes the spiritual master will give you a first initiation name. Then at sannyas, you may get another name. And then when you actually understand your siddha pranali, the spiritual master may reveal to you your identity in the spiritual world or whatever. So there's a difference. Yes?
One mentioned that the spiritual world, Mother Yashoda, they are very satisfied to be one.
Huh?
They are satisfied to be Mother of Krishna or Prime Krishna, or like they said, they don't want to change it. Is it similar in the material world?
We want to change everything.
The people don't want to change. You come to them, the peace, but they don't want to change.
Oh, they don't change. They're insecure. They don't want to take any chances. I don't understand. They don't want to change what?
They also think that it's perfect, their situation.
Well, I think people are very insecure and they try very hard to become secure, surround themselves by relatives and bank accounts and paraphernalia, and especially when they get a little older, it's very difficult for them to give up their situation and say, take to Krishna consciousness. Whereas a young person who doesn't have so many material attachments and is more or less carefree, they can, you know, take a chance and you know, give up everything and move in the ashram, or because they know I can move out again. And but old people are insecure in that way. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So they just get fixed in their ways and can't get them out of that so easily. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita.